Blog Talk Radio.
April 3rd, 2022, and you are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish with Dr. Nicole, and it is 2 a.m. in Beijing, China, 3 a.m. in Tokyo, Japan, 5 a.m. in Sydney, Australia, 10 a.m. in Vancouver, Canada, 12 p.m. in Garland, Texas, 6 p.m. in Lagos, Nigeria, 6 p.m. in London, England, 7 p.m. in Berlin, Germany, 8 p.m. in Israel's Mount Megiddo, the site of the upcoming Battle of Armageddon, and 9 p.m. in Moscow, Russia. I'd love to hear from you today. If you want to participate with guest commentary or with a prayer request or both, call me now. Our PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. When you call, press 1 to raise your hand in the virtual queue. If you don't press 1, then I know you are listening but not talking today. Again, our phone number is 1-319-527-6027. In today's talk, we're going to focus on the foundational elements of the Book of Revelation, the movie trailer for the book, also known as the abstract. This prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the time is near. And also, the book's introduction, I, John, was in the spirit on the isle called Patmos, as well as the transcribed spoken words of Jesus Christ to John for the seven churches that existed at that time in Asia. Write the angels of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And last, a report on heaven written from John's perspective, a door open in heaven. But first, I want to share with you some encouraging words. God gave me these words on April 3rd, 2022. I believe that these words are for you. Number one, I promise death shall be no more. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:26, Revelation 20:14, and Revelation 21:4. I promise that neither anguish, sorrow, mourning, grief, nor pain shall be anymore. That's in Revelation 21:4. And finally, I promise that I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. That's also in Revelation 21:4. So here are these encouraging words for you. I promise death shall be no more. And here's what God is saying to you from 1 Corinthians 15:26, Revelation 20:14, and Revelation 21:4. Death is the last enemy to be destroyed, and I will throw death and Hades into the lake of fire. I will destroy death. I promise you that in your future, you will live for an eternity of eternities, forever and ever, and death shall be no more. God also says in Revelation 21:4, and here's what God is saying to you today, in the age to come, after I have destroyed death, you will never, ever again experience pain. In this age, there is anguish, sorrow, mourning, and grief. But in the age to come, those things will no longer exist. I am bringing an end to this age, and the old earth will have passed away. I promise you that in your future, in the age of my kingdom on the new earth, you will be with me, and neither anguish, sorrow, mourning, grief, nor pain shall be anymore. And here's what God is saying to you today from Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and I see your tears. I promise you that I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and you will never, ever experience pain again. I sit in eternity, and I tell you that it is already done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for those awesome promises. I am Dr. Nicole, and I am on duty as your research scientist for the Book of Revelation. This is your personal invitation from me to you to call in to share your question, perspective, or prayer request. You can call at any point in our talk today. And when we get to the bottom of the hour, I will be taking your calls live. Do you have a question about the Book of Revelation? I would love to answer your personal question. Please text PGN your questions about the Book of Revelation. Our text number is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. When I receive your question, I will consider selecting the question as a research question for focus and discussion in a future broadcast here on PGN of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. I'd love to receive your question or questions about the Book of Revelation. So go ahead and send in your question by text to 1-214-505-8719. In our next segment, we'll be talking about style and structure in the Book of Revelation in its entirety, and I'm going to answer these questions. Number one, who is the narrator of the Book of Revelation? And number two, how are the writings in the Book of Revelation structured and organized? First, the Book of Revelation begins with a movie trailer for the movie of the Book of Revelation. What do I mean by that? The Book of Revelation begins with words that are a summary. The technical term is an abstract of the book in its entirety. Second, the abstract is followed by an introduction written from John's perspective. It's a formal introduction to the book. Third, the introduction is followed by transcribed spoken words of Jesus Christ to John for the seven churches that existed at that time in Asia. Fourth, the Book of Revelation has a report on heaven written from John's perspective. Fifth, and this is the bulk of the Book of Revelation, between the introduction and the conclusion, after John's report on heaven, there are 11 prophetic statements that include both an abstract for each prophetic statement and continued discussion. And last, the Book of Revelation ends with a formal conclusion of the book in its entirety. There are several narratives in the Book of Revelation. It's an extraordinarily creative, detailed, and well-structured book. Let's delve into the structure, the narration, more deeply so we can understand the order used in this awesome, inspiring, and accurate report of events that are happening now and events that are to come. Who is narrating, in other words, talking to you and me, the readers, in the Book of Revelation in each of the six major sections that I just mentioned? First, the book begins with a summary. Again, the technical term is an abstract of the book in its entirety. It's the movie trailer. When you watch a movie trailer, it's very short. A movie trailer is typically 60 seconds to 120 seconds. It's very short relative to the 2 hours that we see or 90 minutes that we see in a movie. Yet a movie trailer is very effective. We're able to know what are the main conflicts in this story, who are the key players, what basically is going to happen? What do we have to look forward to in this 90-minute movie, this 2-hour movie? In the same way, when a writer develops an abstract, it is very short, but we know what we can look forward to, what essentially is going to happen in a book of many words. And first, the Book of Revelation begins with an abstract. Who's talking and explaining things in the abstract? We have the omniscient one's narration. Omniscient means all-knowing, and an omniscient and all-knowing narrator is talking. That is revealed in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. We'll look at that more in a moment. Second, in the introduction written from John's perspective, which immediately follows the abstract, begins in verse 9 and ends in verse 20, who's talking and explaining things in the introduction? John. Here we have John's narration. John is the one talking in the introduction, the second section of the book of Revelation. Third, the introduction is followed by the transcribed spoken words of Jesus Christ to John for the seven churches, that existed at that time. And Jesus Christ himself is talking. Isn't that awesome? So from verse 1 of chapter 2 to the end of chapter 3, that's verse 22 of chapter 3, Jesus Christ himself is talking. Jesus Christ is the narrator for us, the readers, in the third section of the book of Revelation. In the fourth section, we return to a narration from John. So we have the spoken words of Jesus Christ followed by a report on heaven, written from John's perspective. And who's talking and explaining things in John's report of heaven? It is John himself, from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 11, verse 11 of chapter 4, John is talking. So we're looking at the style and structure of the book, doing a brief overview. In the next section, the fifth section of the book of Revelation, and this is the vast majority of the book, we have 11 prophetic statements. Each of these prophetic statements begins with an abstract and continues with continued discussion. Who's talking and explaining things in the prophetic statement? Each prophetic statement is narrated by John. So they begin with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22. Prophetic statement number 1 is the seven seals prophetic statement. It's followed by the seven trumpets prophetic statement, which is followed by the 1,260 days prophetic statement. And the fourth prophetic statement is dragon power. And the fifth prophetic statement is the lamb stood. And the sixth prophetic statement is the seven plagues. The seventh prophetic statement is omnipotent reigns. The eighth prophetic statement is dragon bound. The ninth prophetic statement is dead judged. The tenth prophetic statement is new earth. And the 11th prophetic statement is the city. That's talking about the new Jerusalem on the new earth. Finally, in the last section of the book of Revelation, we have a formal conclusion to the book in its entirety. And who's talking and explaining things in the conclusion? Who's the narrator for this important section of the book? Here we have John and Jesus narrating for us. We have them both talking and sharing with us, the readers of the book of Revelation, and that conclusion begins with verse 6 of the last chapter, chapter 22, and ends with verse 21. Okay, so in summary, here's what we discussed in this segment. My perception is that the book of Revelation is organized in the following way. First, it begins with an abstract, which is a summary, the book trailer for the book of Revelation in its entirety. That title, just taking straight from the words of the Bible itself, this prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the time is near. Second, it includes an introduction written from John's perspective, using words from the Bible. That introduction is, I, John, was in the spirit on the isle called Patmos. Third, using words from the Bible, the introduction is followed by transcribed spoken words of Jesus Christ to John for the seven churches that existed at that time in Asia. Write the angels of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Fourth, it includes a report on heaven written from John's perspective. Using words from the Bible, a door open in heaven, that is a title for the fourth section of the book of Revelation, John's report, a report on heaven written from John's perspective. Fifth, we have 11 prophetic statements. And the final section in the book of Revelation is a formal conclusion of the book in its entirety using words from the Bible. The title for the formal conclusion is Make No Secret of the Words of the Prophecy of This Book. All right. Let's continue. And to continue, let's start with the first of six major components in the book of Revelation, the abstract, the movie trailer. So there's a movie trailer for this book. And in this segment, I'm going to answer these questions. What's an abstract? Where is the abstract in the book of Revelation? What are the key points in the abstract of the book of Revelation? Then we will go to the following sections in the book of Revelation in the order that they appear, but beginning with the abstract. The abstract of the book, using words from the Bible, we can think of the abstract as having this title. This prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The time is near. If you're following along in your Bible, please open up to Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. I'll be reading from the Amplified Classic. If you're listening, that's just fine, too. If you'd like to read along, I encourage you to do that. If you'd like to listen, there's a blessing with listening and hearing the words in this book, so you are going to get that blessing. In the abstract, we have a brief but precise statement of the problem or issues discussed in the longer body of work, which the abstract summarizes. In the abstract, key words and phrases are used to quickly identify the content and focus of the larger work. From the Amplified Classic Translation, I'm now reading the abstract for the book of Revelation. Quote, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his unveiling of the divine mysteries. God gave it to him to disclose and make known to his bondservants certain things which must shortly and speedily come to pass in their entirety. And he sent and communicated it through his angel messenger to his bondservant John, who has testified to and vouched for all that he saw in his visions, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed. Happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. John, to the seven assemblies, churches that are in Asia, may grace, God's unmerited favor, be granted to you, and spiritual peace, the peace of Christ's kingdom, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits, the sevenfold Holy Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince, ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who ever loves us and has once for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall gaze upon him and beat their breasts and mourn and lament over him. Even so must it be. Amen. So be it. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, he who is and who was to come, the Almighty, the ruler of all, end quote. That is the abstract in its entirety for the book of Revelation. Let's take a look at the keywords and phrases that were used in that abstract, because these keywords and phrases identify the content and focus of the book of Revelation in its entirety. So over the next 4 weeks in the month of April, it is my goal to take us from start to finish of the book of Revelation. And this is the first week of us going from start to finish, from chapter 1 to chapter 22 in its entirety. And so in this abstract, we understand what are the key themes, the key phrases, the key takeaway points from the perspective of the writer of the book. So when we look in the book of Revelation, there's so many things that are extremely interesting and important from our perspective. But from the perspective of the writer, what's most important? That's what we're analyzing now. Key phrase number one, revelation of Jesus Christ. That appears in the first sentence of verse 1, the first sentence of the abstract of the book of Revelation, and it answers the question, in a few words, what is in this book? So a revelation is a surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made known in a dramatic way. That's the definition according to Oxford Languages Dictionary. So with that key phrase, quote, revelation of Jesus Christ, end quote, we learn that the writer is saying, I'm about to tell you something surprising about Jesus Christ, which is a fact, and this is going to happen in a very dramatic way. So who's telling us all this? Who's the narrator for the abstract? Who's talking in this part of the book of Revelation to you, the reader, to you and me, readers of the book of Revelation? The narrator identifies himself with the last sentence of the abstract, which is in verse 8 of chapter 1, quote, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, end quote. So the author of this part of the book of Revelation, who is talking to you, the reader, is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. Next, let's take a look at three more key phrases in the abstract. Where does the information in the rest of this book come from? This question is answered in verse 2, and the answer is, quote, John, who has testified, end quote, quote, the testimony of Jesus Christ, end quote, and, quote, the word of God, end quote. These three key phrases all appear in verse 2, John, who has testified, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and the word of God. These three key phrases all appear in verse 2 of chapter 1, and they tell us where the information in the rest of the book is coming from. So what are the other key phrases in the abstract? The movie trailer for the book of Revelation, and what are they preparing us for in the rest of the book? There's another key phrase, quote, word of this prophecy, end quote, which appears in verse 3 of chapter 1. And this indicates that the dominant theme of this book, its primary purpose is to tell us, the reader, about a prediction about something to come. Prophecy is defined by Merriam-Webster as a prediction to come. So when is it going to happen, this prediction? We find out later in verse 3, quote, the time is near, end quote. And who exactly is the prediction that this book is about? We find the answer to this question in verse 5 of chapter 1 with the key phrase, quote, the firstborn of the dead, end quote, we learn that the prediction in this book is about Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn of the dead. And another question answered in the abstract is, what's going to happen? Also, and later in verse 5 of chapter 1, we see what's going to happen. We learn that Jesus Christ is going to be, quote, the prince ruler of the kings of the earth, end quote. So that's what's going to happen. And what else is going to happen? Quote, here's another key phrase from the abstract, he is coming, end quote, and, quote, every eye will see him, end quote, and, quote, all the tribes of the earth, end quote, will see him. These all appear in verse 7. So what does this mean for those who died in Christ or who live on the earth now and have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? We learn that in our future, but in the past, from the perspective of the future, he, quote, formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, end quote. That's in verse 6 of chapter 1. So those are the key phrases in the abstract. If you look at these key phrases, you have a movie trailer, the highlights of the movie trailer, which is the abstract. I'm just going to read the key phrases verbatim in order. Revelation of Jesus Christ. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. John, who has testified. The testimony of Jesus Christ. The Word of God. Word of this prophecy. The time is near. The firstborn of the dead. The prince ruler of the kings of the earth. He is coming. Every eye will see him. All the tribes of the earth. He formed us into a kingdom, a royal race. That is, those are the keywords from the abstract. So what this abstract does for us, for you and me as readers of the book of Revelation, is that it provides us readers with a quick overview of the book and its organization. So I encourage you to read the abstract, chapter 1, verses 1 to verse 8. As is proper form in professional writing, the abstract begins with a brief but precise statement of the problem or issue. It starts with, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Also, in keeping with proper form and professional writing, the abstract includes the most important information first. So when you look at chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, the movie trailer for the book of Revelation, the movie trailer in words, the abstract, remember that you're looking at its abstract, which is a self-contained, short, and powerful statement that describes the larger work, which appears beginning with verse 9 of chapter 1 and ending with the conclusion of chapter 22. Finally, what are three key issues, takeaway points from the abstract? Number one, the book of Revelation is about the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead. Number two, Jesus Christ is coming again, and every eye will see him, and all the tribes of the earth will gaze upon him. Number three, this book is written by John and is based on three things. A, the testimony, in other words, the words of Jesus Christ actually spoken to John. B, the visions of John. And C, the Word of God. The abstract is an exciting and important part of the book of Revelation. Let us now turn our attention to the next thing that appears in the book of Revelation. That is the book's formal introduction. Using words that appear in the introduction, we may think of the introduction as having this title. I, John, was in the spirit of the owl called Patmos. So if you're following along with me in your Bible, the introduction begins with verse 9 and ends with verse 20 of chapter 1. So it's essentially the last two-thirds of chapter 1. Let's take look at it. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic, quote, I, John, your brother and companion, sharer and participator with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patient endurance which are in Jesus Christ, was on the isle called Patmos, banished on account of my witnessing to the word of God and the testimony, the proof, the evidence of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit, wrapped in his power on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice, like the calling of a war trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Write promptly what you see, your vision, in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose was the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a robe which reached to his feet and with a girdle of gold about his breast. His head and his hair were white like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes flashed like a flame of fire. His feet glowed like burnished bright bronze as it is refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth there came forth a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full power at midday. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the ever-living one. I am living in the eternity of eternities. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. Write, therefore, the things you see, what they are and signify, and what is to take place hereafter. As to the hidden meaning, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw on my right hand, and the seven lampstands of gold, the seven stars are the seven angels, messengers of the seven assemblies, churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches, end quote. I was reading the formal introduction from the book of Revelation. It appears in chapter 1, beginning with verse 9 and ending with the last chapter, the last verse in chapter 1, that is verse 20. What are the three key issues, the key takeaway points from the introduction? Number one, John was on the Isle of Patmos when he heard the voice of Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus Christ identifies himself to John and speaks to John. Number three, Jesus explains to John that he died but is now alive and forevermore. Death is not a closed door, a final event any longer, because Jesus now possesses the keys of death and Hades. Those are the three key takeaway points. And further, I meant to include in the third final point, Jesus also says to John, write therefore the things you see, what they are and signify, and what is to take hereafter. So all of those things appear in the formal introduction for the book of Revelation. So you might say, just tell me the prophecies in the book of Revelation. I don't want to hear all this. It's very important that when you read the book of Revelation, you know what you're reading. You know where you are. If you were all of a sudden to be dropped on a highway, you need to know, what highway is this? What number is this? What state am I in, or what country am I in? You need to have a way to get oriented to your location. And in the same way, in the book of Revelation, an extremely complex but well-organized book, you must understand the location of various pieces of information that exist in the book. So, what we know is that the introduction to the book is given by John. It's John's narration. It appears after the abstract for the book. It's in chapter 1, and it spans verses 9 to 20. Excellent, excellent. We are making good progress. You are on your way to understanding the book of Revelation from start to finish. Next, let's take a look at the third section in the book of Revelation. That section, using words from the Bible as a title, the angels of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These are, in this third section, we have the transcribed spoken words of Jesus Christ to John for the seven churches that existed at that time in Asia. If you are following along in your written Bible, or maybe on your phone or your tablet, this section begins with verse 1 of chapter 2 and ends with the final verse, verse 22 of chapter 3. Now, you might say, you just said that the introduction was narrated by John. Now you're saying we're hearing narration from Jesus. Yes, that's exactly right. The book of Revelation has several narrators, and we must always understand who's talking to us at this point in the book of Revelation. So let's look at words that appear in this section so we can be confident that we have correctly identified the narrator for this book, this section of the book of Revelation. Okay, in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars. In verse 8 of chapter 2, it says, these are the words of the first and the last who died and came to life again. In verse 12 of chapter 2, it says again, these are the words of him who has and wields the sharp two-edged sword. And in verse 18, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame of fire and whose feet glow like bright and burnished and white hot bronze. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And in verse 7 of the same chapter, these are the words of the Holy One, the true one, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open. And finally, in verse 14, as we get to the end of this section of the book, it says, these are the words of the Amen, the trusty and faithful and true witness, the origin and beginning and author of God's creation. So these are the words of Jesus Christ. Lest anyone should doubt, he has identified himself and communicates that he is the author of these words seven times in the third section of the book of Revelation, the words of Jesus Christ to the seven churches that existed at that time when the book was written. So we'll look at a moment at the words Jesus had for those people who lived on the earth at that time. But first, in this section, were there words spoken to the seven churches that are for you and me? The answer to that question is yes. Here are those words about what is to take place hereafter. In Revelation 2, verse 7, and these are words for you. To him who overcomes is victorious, I will grant to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And in verse 11 of chapter 2, these are words for you. Jesus says, he who overcomes is victorious shall in no way be injured by the second death. And in verse 17 of chapter 2, Jesus Christ says to you, to him who overcomes, conquers, I will give to eat of the manna that is hidden and I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows or understands except he who receives it. Jesus further says in verse 26 of chapter 2, and he who overcomes is victorious, and who obeys my commands to the very end, doing the works that please me, I will give him authority and power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a scepter, rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, and his power over them shall be like that which I myself have received from my Father. And he continues in 27, that was verse 27, and finally in 28, he says, and I will give him the morning star. And of course, we know he is the morning star. He gives us himself. Hallelujah. What else is for you and for me? What else is to take place hereafter? Jesus says in verse 5 of chapter 3, thus shall he who conquers is victorious, be clad in white garments, and I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. I will acknowledge him as mine, and I will confess his name openly before my Father and before his angels. And in verse 12, he says, he who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. And finally, he says, in verse 21, just before his words end, he says, he who overcomes is victorious. I will grant him to sit beside me on my throne, as I myself overcame, was victorious, and sat down beside my Father on his throne. So those are the words that are for you in this section of the book of Revelation. And why do I say that? We're going to look at the words for the church at that time based on what their own issues were, and we're going to see what their issues were. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So those promises that were for them are promises for us. He tells us what is to take place hereafter for he who overcomes and is victorious. So you are victorious because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've repented of your sins, and you are made in right standing with Jesus Christ because of the blood of Jesus. If you haven't done so, friend, I encourage you, as we are instructed by Paul, to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you haven't done so, I encourage you to repent of your sins. Turn your back on those sins, on that way of being. Ask God to forgive you. He is faithful to do so. He promises that. And say this, friend, if you haven't done it before. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry. I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your blood as payment for my sin debts. Thank you, Lord, that because of you, I am made in right standing with God. If you said those words, if you prayed that prayer with me today, I believe that you are saved according to the word of God, and that those promises are yours. It's not for everybody. It's only for those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so thank you for doing that. I am encouraged by these words. You should be encouraged by these words. Let us examine further this third section, this section of the words of Jesus Christ to the seven churches. These words appear in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. And we can look at this in four parts. Number one, part one, what are the key issues, events, and problems for the specific church Jesus is talking to? Number two, what are their key accomplishments, if any? Number three, what instructions do they need to resolve their problems? And number four, what is Jesus going to do in response to their action or inaction? So these are the four things that are addressed in each of the words that Jesus communicates to John to share with the angel for each of the seven churches. So there are seven churches. The first church is Ephesus, and their problems are identified in verse 4. Of chapter 2. You have left, abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love. Jesus's instruction to them is found in verse 5. Remember then from what heights you have fallen. Repent. Change the inner man to meet God's will and do the works you did previously when first you knew the Lord. Now, Jesus tells them what actions he's going to take. In verse 5, later on he says, or else I will visit you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you change your mind and repent. So he specifically identified the problem with the church of Ephesus. Ephesus was a location that existed on the earth at that time. And he said, you have left, abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love. Now, he also praises the church of Ephesus. He identifies their accomplishments in verses 2, 3, and 6. He says, I know your industry and activities, laborious toil and trouble, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot tolerate wicked men and have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, special messengers of Christ, and yet are not, and have found them to be imposters and liars. So he says, this is an accomplishment. He says, as another accomplishment to them, I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. And he further praises them with this. Yet you have this in your favor and to your credit. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, what they are doing as corruptors of the people, which I myself also detest. So he has words of praise, and he has words of correction for the church of Ephesus. Now, for the second church, Smyrna, he tells them, here are your accomplishments. I know your affliction and distress and pressing trouble and your poverty, but you are rich. And that ends with an exclamation mark. Now, what does he say their problems are? He identifies their problems in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2. He says, and how you are abused and reviled and slandered by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. He says, behold, the devil is indeed about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested and proved and critically appraised, and for 10 days you will have affliction. So this is a very specific word. He tells them in advance, some of you are about to go to jail for 10 days, and here's why. Now, what's his instruction about this? What are his instructions for how the Church of Smyrna should address this problem? He says in verse 10 to Smyrna, fear nothing that you are about to suffer. Dismiss your dread and your fears. Be loyally faithful unto death, even if you must die for it. Whew. Okay, that's what he tells them. And these are the actions that he tells them that he is going to take. Jesus says, in verse 10, and I will give you the crown of life. Hallelujah. There's a third church, Pergamum. Jesus acknowledges their key accomplishments. In verse 13, he says to the church of Pergamum, I know where you live, a place where Satan sits enthroned, yet you are clinging to and holding fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed, martyred in your midst where Satan dwells. So he praises them, acknowledges their key accomplishments, and then he shares a word about their problem. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. He's saying this to Pergamum. You have some people there who are clinging to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to set a trap and a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to entice them to eat food that had been sacrificed to idols and to practice lewdness, giving them up to sexual vice. You also have some who in a similar way are clinging to the teaching of the Nicolaitans, those corruptors of the people, which thing I hate. Next, Jesus gives them an instruction, a short one. In verse 16 of chapter 2, repent then, with an exclamation mark. That's his instruction to them in its entirety. Repent then. And he says what he's going to do, what his actions will be. He says in verse 16 to the church of Pergamum, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. All right, so Pergamum is the third of seven churches. Jesus communicates verbatim in his own words to the church of Thyatira, a church that existed at the time the book of Revelation was written. He shares their key accomplishments in verse 19. Jesus Christ says, I know your record and what you are doing, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your recent works are more numerous and greater than your first ones. Excellent. That's awesome. He also shares some problems that the church of Thyatira is facing in verses 20 and 21. He says, but I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and who is teaching and leading astray my servants and beguiling them into practicing sexual vice and eating food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she has no desire to repent of her immorality, symbolic of idolatry, and refuses to do so. Those are the problems that Jesus identified that existed with the church of Thyatira. So he gives them some instructions. He says, take note. And he shares what actions he will take. In verses 22, 23, and 24, as well as 25, I will throw her on a bed of anguish, and those who commit adultery with her, her paramours, I will bring down to pressing distress and severe affliction unless they turn away their minds from conduct such as hers and repent of their doings. And I will strike her children, her proper followers, dead, thoroughly exterminating them. And all the assembly's churches shall recognize and understand that I am he who searches minds, the thoughts, feelings, and purposes, and the inmost hearts, and I will give to each of you the reward for what you have done as your work deserves. Now, those were the actions he says he's going to take for those who are not repenting. But he has some different actions that he says he's going to take for those who are. And those start with verse 24, and then with verse 25 he says, but to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not explored and known the depths of Satan, as they say, I tell you that I do not lay upon you any other fresh burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. So those were his words for the church of Thyatira. Apparently there were two groups there, those who were following Jezebel and those who weren't. And so we had different words depending on which group you were in. Now, for the fifth church, Sardis, Jesus praises them, shares their key accomplishments in verse 4. He says, yet you still have a few persons, names in Sardis, who have not soiled their clothes, and they shall walk with me in white because they are worthy and deserving. Now, he has some comments. He identifies specifically their problems in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. He says, you are supposed to be alive, but in reality you are dead. I have not found a thing that you have done, any work of yours, meeting the requirements of my God or perfect in his sight. And this is his instruction to them. Rouse yourselves and keep awake and strengthen and invigorate what remains and is on the point of dying. So call to mind the lessons you received and heard. Continually lay them to heart and obey them and repent. And here's what Jesus says he's going to do, the actions he will take in response to their action or inaction at the Church of Sardis. He says, in case you will not rouse yourselves and keep awake and watch, I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not know or suspect at what hour I will come. To the sixth church, the Church of Philadelphia, Jesus shares their key accomplishments in verse 8. He says, I know your record of works and what you are doing. See, I have set before you a door wide open, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and guarded my message and have not renounced or denied my name. Hallelujah. They were doing some things well. In addition, they had some problems. In verse 10, Jesus says, you have guarded and kept my word of patient endurance, have held fast the lesson of my patience with the expectant endurance that I give you, and I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet and learn and acknowledge that I have loved you. I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. And he tells them as an instruction, take note, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown. And finally, for the seventh and final church, Laodicea, he does not identify any key accomplishments for this church, but he does have words regarding their problems. He says, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered and grown wealthy, and I am in need of nothing, and you do not realize and understand that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. End quote. Okay, they had a lot of problems. So what are Jesus's solutions for them? He says in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 3, therefore, I counsel you to purchase from me gold, refined and tested by fire, that you may be truly wealthy, and white clothes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nudity from being seen, and salve to put on your eyes that you may see. So be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal, and repent, changing your mind and attitude. Jesus says about the actions he's going to take in response to their action or inaction, the Church of Laodicea specifically. He says, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults and convict and convince and reprove and chasten. I discipline and instruct them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for discipline and instruction. And so we have there the end of the third section of the book of Revelation. In just a moment, I'll be taking your calls to hear your commentary, calls. If you'd like me to pray over you today, I'd love to pray with you and for you. please call us now at 1-319-527-6027. I'm looking in the queue. I don't see any hands raised yet at this time, but if you'd like to call, please call me now at 1-319-527-6027. I'm going to continue as I'm waiting to see if there are calls. In the last 2 weeks, people called or texted after the program ended, so I want to make sure that I give you sufficient time to call in if you're going to be doing that today. Let me also give again our text number. Maybe you say, I don't want to call or I'm not able to call right now, but I do want to give you my text number. If you could pray over me or pray over my son or pray over my daughter or my sister, you can text in your prayer request. That text number is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. You can also text in your comment. If you have a comment, you can text that in as well. Our last segment, in our last segment, let's take a look at the fourth foundational element in the book of Revelation. So this is the last section before the 11 prophetic statements that comprise the bulk of the book of Revelation. So the fourth section, using words from the Bible, we can think of the title as a door open in heaven. So this section is a report on heaven written from John's perspective. In this section of the book of Revelation, we need to know where we are at all times when we're in the book of Revelation. We need to know who's talking, where are we, and what's happening in this specific section. Where we are, we're in the fourth section. It is a report on heaven written from John's perspective. John is the narrator of this foundational element in the book of Revelation. It spans from verse 1 to verse 11 of chapter 4. So chapter 4 in its entirety is a report on heaven. So are you curious about heaven? I'm curious about heaven. Let's find out what John is reporting about heaven. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic version of the Bible, the Amplified Classic Translation. This is John's report on heaven. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard addressing me, like the calling of a war trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future. At once I came under the Holy Spirit's power, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there appeared like the crystalline brightness of jasper and the fiery sardius. And encircling the throne, there was a halo that looked like a rainbow of emerald. 24 other thrones surrounded the throne. And seated on these thrones were 24 elders, the members of the heavenly Sanhedrin, arrayed in white clothing with crowns of gold upon their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne, seven blazing torches burned, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. And in front of the throne, there was also what looked like a transparent glassy sea as if of crystal. And around the throne, in the center at each side of the throne, were four living creatures, beings who were full of eyes in front and behind, with intelligence as to what is before and at the rear of them. The first living creature being was like a lion, the second living creature like an ox. The third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, individually having six wings, were full of eyes all over and within underneath their wings. And day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, who was and who is to come." And whenever the living creatures offer glory and honor and thanksgiving to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever through the eternities of the eternities. The 24 elders, the members of the heavenly Sanhedrin, fall prostrate before him who is sitting on the throne. And they worship him who lives forever and ever. And they throw down their crowns before the throne, crying out, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and dominion, for you created all things. By your will they were brought into being and were created." End quote. That is a report of heaven. So I've never been to heaven. I assume you've never been to heaven. So what is happening there? What's in heaven? What does it look like? Well, this is a report on heaven, and this is a true report. This is from John. This is John's report of heaven. It appears in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. It is the fourth section of the book of Revelation. It is exciting. It's out of this world. It is truly heavenly, truly out of this world. So he has different things that he's described. He's described creatures that have six eyes and the throne that God sits on, but then there are actually many thrones. He says there are at least 24. He doesn't say there are only 24 additional thrones, but at least there are 24 more. These creatures, he doesn't give them a name. He only sees them. He shares with us words that are spoken in heaven by two different groups of people, the four creatures and the members of the Sanhedrin. He tells us what the Sanhedrin are wearing, that they're arrayed in white clothing. He tells us that they have gold crowns on their heads. He tells us what's coming out of the throne. He describes He describes God, yet the description is incomplete. But how exciting is it? He appeared like the crystalline brightness of jasper. He says so many interesting things. So if you want to know what does heaven look like, we have some of that here. Now, there's more to come in the book of Revelation, but specifically here, this is what John actually experienced in heaven. And he shares his experience in a report, an accurate, a true report that appears in the book of Revelation, and that is chapter 4. Now, what comes after this? That we have just concluded our discussion of the foundational elements of the book of Revelation. Following this, we are going to be talking about the prophetic statements that appear in the book of Revelation. There are 11 of them. There's a prophetic statement. It begins with an abstract, a movie trailer for what's in it in its entirety, and then we have the whole movie, the whole prophetic statement. So we have prophetic statement number one, number two, number three, all the way to the last prophetic statement, which is about the city, that's Jerusalem, the holy city that's going to exist on the new earth. That's the last prophetic statement. And then the sixth and final section of the book of Revelation is the formal conclusion to the book. So in this month, the month of April, my goal is for us to go from start to finish in the book of Revelation and for you to understand, for us to understand together the book of Revelation from start to finish. So I encourage you to tune in again next Sunday. Beginning this month, I have added a second time. I will be sharing this same talk, but live talk, I'll be taking your calls live, but this same talk on Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Central Time. That's 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Texas Time. It's 4 p.m. Central Time, Tuesdays. So if you came in late but you want to participate live, please tune in on Tuesday. Next week, maybe you're going to listen on Sunday and Tuesday. The following week, maybe you'll do Tuesday instead of Sunday. I don't know. But I just want to share with you, I'm adding a second time, hoping that that will get more of us to be able to participate. I want to have a weekday time so that you can get in the book of Revelation during the week too, so we can do that together. What are the takeaway points from John's report on heaven? Number one, we learn that Jesus Christ himself told John, come up here and I will show you what must take place in the future. So John went to heaven. Why? Jesus Christ told him to and empowered him to do so. That appears in verse 1 of chapter 4. Second takeaway point, John actually saw the physical location known as heaven. Takeaway point number 3, in heaven he saw living beings, including Jesus Christ, living creatures, and 24 elders who are members of the Sanhedrin. Those are 3 takeaway points from the introduction, John's report of heaven that follows the third section in the book of Revelation. I hope that that was interesting and exciting to you. In our lesson today, we have discussed the foundational elements of the book of Revelation, the abstract of the book's introduction, the transcribed spoken words of Jesus Christ to John for the 7 churches that existed at that time in Asia, and last, we talked about John's report of heaven. So we went from verse 1, chapter 1, to verse 11 of chapter 4. We're going to pick up next Sunday with verse 1 of chapter 5, the first prophetic statement. This Tuesday, again, just making an announcement, this Tuesday at 4 p.m. Texas time, that's 4 p.m. Central time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, I'll be sharing the same talk. I'll be taking your questions and prayer requests live. So please consider joining me and joining us again on Tuesday. Hopefully I will get to be with you soon. I'm looking in. I see many of you are here with us, but I don't see any hands raised in the prayer queue. And so I want to thank you for your presence and participation today. God bless you, friend, and I will look forward to being with you again soon. Thank you, and have a blessed day.